Thank you, Brother Mike. You see what I mean by the wisdom? If you'd like to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, please. And while you're turning there, I'd like to read the scripture that's on the front of today's bulletin. From 1 Peter 5:2 through 7. It says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." Not by default, Brother Mike. Absolutely. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject one unto another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace. I'm going to repeat that. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's why we worship him. That's why we don't want to think about ourselves. Because he, God Almighty, the creator of everything, cares for his people. Could a God, one who rules over everything, who cares for his people with a love that he has loved them before the foundation of the world, that means before anything was ever created, that means before any stars were ever put in place, that means before there was dust. Could a God who loved his people ever allow one of them to go to hell? That's why Christ had to come to this earth. That's why we're here to worship him, because he sent his son, his only begotten son, to be a propitiation, to be the payment for his people. In Ephesians chapter 2 are some very, very familiar verses. Verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now these words, as you all who have been here for some time and have heard me stand before you and teach and preach, have heard me say these words over and over and over again. And if you decide that this is the church that you see the worship of Christ and that you want to be a part of, you're going to hear me say them over and over and over as long as God gives me the chance to stand here before you. Things like, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All things are for the good to those that love God, to those that are called. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people." These are phrases that you will hear from me over and over again. I'm telling you now, that's what you can expect. That is my determination. They are very familiar verses indeed, but one of these words stand out more than the rest and is usually passed over to make the point of that we read at the end there, "not of works, lest any man should boast." We need to be very clear that the works cannot get you into heaven. Doing good deeds, serving the poor, going to church on Sunday, Friday night, getting baptized, coming to the Lord's table. These are things that do not save God's people. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at that verse again, chapter 2, verse 8. For by, you see that? Oh, how quick I have been. And I'm guilty of this, folks. This is my guilt here that I'm sharing with you. Oh, how guilty I have been to pass that phrase over. By grace are ye saved. By grace. To a sinner, one who has had their true nature revealed, one who has been shown their standing before God, one who has been revealed what they deserve from the Almighty Creator, this word is more important than any other word in all of Scripture. Now that does not take anything away from the rest of God's word. But without this word grace and the meaning thereof, everything else would be meaningless. We are saved by grace through faith. For by grace are ye saved. That's God's word. You're not saved by coming down to the front of the aisle and making a decision for Jesus. You're not saved by exercising your free will. You're not saved by those things that I listed off a few moments ago. If you are saved, it is for one reason only. It is for the grace of God that He is saving any of His people.
Amen.
The word is grace. For by grace are ye saved. This beautiful word simply means unmerited favor. Something you can't earn. Something you don't deserve. In fact, just the opposite of that. You deserve the opposite of grace. You have earned the opposite of grace. You were born in a world of sin. Everyone that has walked this earth other than Jesus Christ the Lord has walked in sin, is born in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. Unmerited favor. The word favor can best be described by looking over at verse 3 of chapter 1. If you have a King James Version, it's only one page over. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has blessed His chosen people with the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ and in Christ alone. This is the favor of God, to bless His people with spiritual blessings. What, you may ask? What do I mean that God favors people? Doesn't God love everybody? No, He favors people. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, if you would. The fact that God favors some and looks past others is taught throughout all of Scripture. You're all familiar with the story of Cain and Abel, aren't you? God favored Abel. And Cain got so jealous. How dare God favor my brother more than me? How dare he? And he killed his brother Abel. Out of jealousy and outrage, he killed his brother. Jealousy drove the sons of Jacob to sell the youngest, Jacob, a picture of God, a picture of Christ. had 12 sons, and the youngest one he favored with a colored coat, a coat of many colors. And for that cause, for that simple cause, oh no, Dad loves him and he doesn't love us. How can we live with that? How can we deal with that? That's not right. I'm the oldest. I'm the middle. Mom's always liked me better than Dad or than my brothers. Whatever reason you want to use. And they sold their little brother and told their dad he was dead. And God favored that young man and made him the lord of all of Egypt's monies. All the treasures of Egypt were put in his hand. God favored all of Israel over all the other peoples of that time. Even though they were the smallest of all, as it says in the Old Testament, they were just a little teeny country. They're still pretty much the same, I think. I don't think they've really grown any over there, but God favored a people, Israel, more than all the rest. None of the other peoples of that world of that day, does anybody know of anyone else that got the oracles of God, that had the mercy seat, that had the staff that continued to bud, all those things, the temple? Was there any of the other ones that had that? No. God didn't dwell with any other people but Israel, isn't it? He dwelt in the tent there that they built. Does God favor some and not others? Malachi 1, verse 2, you don't need to turn there. He says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage a waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Does that sound like God favored somebody? He loved Jacob. The churches of today, if you go into a dictionary and you look up a concordance, one of some of these newer ones especially, and you look up underneath that word hate, where it says the same thing over in Romans, if you go over there and you look that up, not in the Old Testament, not here, but in the New Testament, it'll say on there, loved less, as one of the descriptions of that word. And then it has a little thing in comment that says, inserted. That means somebody came in later, in one of the later translations, and inserted something, added something to the original meaning of that word. You go back to the Old Testament right here in Malachi and you pull up that same word under the old language, and there is no doubt in you, there will be no doubt in your mind. You will see God's word hate means he hates. It will be destroyed. That is the most behemoth, I didn't say the word right. It's the strongest kind of hate you can think of. But as all things are with God, it's also a perfect hate. In Exodus 33:19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Does God favor some and not others? Well, what about in Romans where he says, he saith to Moses, speaking of as it said in Exodus, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Does God have favor on some and not others? Well, just to make sure that we understand that, not only did he say that in Romans 9:15, he says it again just two verses later, Romans 9:18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. There's no interpretation to that, I think. That's as plain as anything I can see. God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. He is gracious to whom he will be gracious. He has favor on whom he will have favor. To be favored of God is to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Are you with me in Romans 8? Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Called according to His purpose. That's not just for pastors, Brother Mike. Although that is true, and they must be called. The idea of an interim pastor is so that I can be sure that this is what the Lord is calling me to. I don't want to look at one little piece of sign when I've been looking for 6 years, asking, Lord, where do you want me? And think, as exactly how He said, become a pastor out of default. Absolutely correct. I need time to make sure this is what I'm really being called to do, as you need time to make sure that this is who you want to hear. Called according to His purpose goes along with the very fact that we are called out of darkness. We are called into the shining light of Jesus Christ, our Savior, He who we worship, our King of kings, Master of everything. Called because of unmerited favor. Called when we didn't deserve it. Called when we didn't even want it. So a good follow-up question to that would be, well, if all have sinned and come short of God, come short of the glory of God, well, why would He favor any then? Why would God favor any of us? We don't deserve it. Absolutely not. We all deserve to be in the same place, in hell. Yet God has called some of us out of that. God has given a new heart. It's called being born again. You must be born again. That's not if, that's not, well, you know, maybe if you would be born again. That's not that at all. Ye must be born again. That's God's word, not mine. You must be called according to His purpose to hear the word of God and the truth that's in it, as Mike had spoke of. And not all the world out there hears the word of God and the truth of it. A lot of people hear what tickles their ears, what drives their fancy. And then they go home and they're the same people. But there are a few. There is a remnant. There is a small amount that God has chosen unto Himself. There were 2,000 in one city at one time. And then there were other times where there was only one. The answer to why would God favor any is very simple. For Christ's sake. Salvation is of the Lord. This is where the word unmerited comes in. Unmerited means that you can't earn it, you can't buy it. Anything else that you might think of, imagine, or try, you can't. It's not yours. In fact, you deserve the opposite. Grace is grace, and works is everything else, and they don't mix. If you try to add one little thing, and that's what the world has done by saying, I exercise my free will. God gives me the opportunity to exercise my free will. He's given me the right to choice. He's given me the ability to choose where I want to go. It's my decision where my destination will go. Well, that's wrong, because you're adding a little bit of you. You're adding a little bit of what you have done to salvation. And that makes salvation of you and the Lord. And that's not correct. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. Jonah had to learn that the hard way. He died in the belly of a fish. And I'm telling you, folks, I've imagined. I've sat down and thought about that at times. This is real. He was swallowed by a fish for real. Some man who has feelings was dying with weeds wrapped around his neck, as it says in Scripture. Waves splashing over his head. And he knew he was dying. And when God was ready, he spit him out on dry ground. And what was the first thing he said? Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. He had to learn it the hard way how to go and preach to those mean and nasty Ninevites. And they were nasty people. That's why he was scared and he didn't want to go there in the first place. I'm not going there, Lord. It's like going into the Hell's Angels den down here in Sacramento and saying, "What's going on, guys? Can I ride with you?" No, I don't have enough tattoos on me. Called according to his purpose. Why would God have favor on any for Christ's sake? Faith is a gift of God to his elect, lest any man should boast. We do not just decide to follow Jesus because we are smarter than we were yesterday, or because we're tired of the way our ruined lives have been. By grace, by the grace of God, we are called to know his mercy according to his purpose. In John 6:44, it says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." John 6:64, it says, "But there are some among you that believe not, for Jesus knoweth from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." That's God's word. That's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking right there. That is the horse that comes before the cart. Salvation is of the Lord. Our nature has bound us unto sin, unto unbelief, unto rebellion. We do not have a nature that seeks God. We must be born again. And with a new nature, a new heart, a new creature, as our Lord says it, there is nothing in the old man that God would look down upon and be pleased to see, for a holy God cannot even look upon sin. Unmerited means that there is nothing in our unregenerated state that is worthy of God's consideration. Nothing. Why would God look down if it was nothing to him? That means that he looks down on some with a very special eye. The eye of love. The love that he has for his people. The love that he has for each and every one of you that he has come into your hearts with. The love that he has had for you before the world began. That's why they call him the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God knew that he would send his only begotten Son to be our substitute, to make the payment, to pay the price for our sins. That's pretty deep love. Unmerited means that there is nothing in our unregenerate state that is worthy of God's consideration, yet God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. You see this word in verses 29 and 30 of Romans 8:28. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." Predestinated, predetermined. That's the same thing as chosen. God says, "You did not choose me. I chose you. chosen, predestinated, predetermined. Shows up twice, right there in 29 and 30. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. God the Father gave his Son a people before the world was, and God the Son came to this world, born of a virgin, born of the Spirit, walking perfectly, a walk that had no sin, no sinful flesh could do. Everything he did was pleasing to the Father, even the laying down his life, providing himself a perfect sacrifice, a perfect atonement, a perfect payment, a full payment. Oh, blessed Redeemer, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. Amen. And God the Spirit goes about calling all of those whom he has loved from before the foundation of the world through the preaching of the gospel. How will you know about this Jesus if we don't preach the gospel? That's what's important here. This building doesn't mean nothing. It's going to all burn up in the end. God doesn't save his people by a building that's sitting here in this beautiful little creek running next to it, a nice paint job. He saves his people for Christ's sake through the preaching of his word. How are you going to know to call upon him if you've never heard of it? I didn't know. God brought me into this building and I heard about Jesus who rules everything. Who not only rules everything but loves me so much he gave himself for me. Well, how was I going to know that if I didn't hear it preached? Now I know, that's a lot to swallow, isn't it? For 40 years it was for me too. All my life until 1999 on my 40th birthday, I had been around sayings like, you must come to Jesus. If you just stop, Johnny, if you just stop doing those things that get you in trouble with the law, running with those people that... If you just stop doing stupid stuff and do something smart and come to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. That at the age of 40, through the preaching of his gospel, I was given new ears. I was given new eyes. I was given a new heart. I was given the gift to believe. Faith is a gift from God. It's unmerited favor. Not everybody is given the gift to believe. I was made willing in the day of his power to come to him. This is unmerited favor. God is gracious for Christ's sake and for Christ's sake alone. Because of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. How can I know if I am saved by grace? There are 5 points that we call the 5 points of Calvinism, and not one single one of these points can save you. So don't look at these points and think, oh yeah, I'm saved because of that. But every single one of these points have a part of your salvation. When God comes to us, he teaches us that we're totally depraved. We're bankrupt. We have nothing. We come before God, seeing our condition, seeing that we deserve to go to hell, and we say, Lord. And the only reason we say that is because the Lord has already started to do a work in our hearts. Yes. Before we even knew it. Lord, have mercy on me. A sinner, depraved of everything. Unconditional election. Not for any reason that I could do, not for any reason that you could do, not for anything. God chose a people because it was his pleasure to choose them. Not because of anything they did, but because it pleased him to do so. Limited atonement. The atonement was made by the blood of Jesus when he hung on that cross. The payment was made in full. There is nothing left to do. It's over. It's done. He said, Jesus said, it is finished. And those who are going about through this world thinking, I can do this and I should do this and I should do that, I need to do this to be saved, they're following a path of destruction. The atonement was made, and it was made for a remnant of people. Oh, how blessed we are to be a part of that, deserving something we have not earned, deserving wrath. Yet God has mercy upon some. That blesses me so much. Not all the sons of Jacob shall perish. And I'm not going to say this properly. I don't think I'm going to say it wrong, but I can't remember exactly. But how does it go? Something to do with the fact of Jacob, the sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. That's kind of close enough, isn't it, Mike? Yeah. Because of the love of Christ. We're not consumed because of Him. Because of His atonement. Irresistible grace. When God sheds His grace upon His loved people, how could you resist? Especially when He shows you what you deserve. Especially when He shows you what you've earned. Because that grace is irresistible because it's so great. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. It's grace. God is having grace, maybe on me. Perseverance of the saints. No matter what we go through, no matter how many times we are in the place of David, the psalmist, saying, Lord, where are you? Where are you today? I don't see you. I'm scared. This thing that's bothering me in this world is, it's overwhelming me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this relationship I'm having. I don't know if I should continue here or go there. Lord, what do I do? Where are you? How come you're not showing me? Never fear, for I am always with you, he says. And then boom, he pops up and he shows you he is still there. Just as he did with David. The Lord is my shepherd, for whom I shall not want. He guideth me through pastures. Oh, what a wonderful saying that is. That comes right after that first, that other part where David was saying, Lord, where are you? You got the 22nd Psalm and the 23rd Psalm. If these points mentioned resonate from God's word and are pressed upon your very soul, it may very well be that God has loved you from before the foundation of the world. It may very well be that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, Creator of all things, King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler over all that is, to be your substitute. And if He has, then these closing words in Romans 8 will bless your socks off, as we like to say. Let's begin reading in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, then who or what or anything else, what could be against us? Amen. If God be for you, Polly Mary, there ain't a thing in the world that you got to worry about. Amen. I think we clapped that. Don't tell Pastor Gene I did that. Although he's going to get a recording and I'll get a reprimand, I'm sure. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up. He that spared not His own Son. He who is so holy, so perfect, so righteous. Delivered His Son up for us. His Son was made sin for us that we might be righteous before God. how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If Christ laid down his perfect, precious, wonderful, loving blood for the people that he loves, how could anything else be charged to that? There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ.
Amen.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I shall always be with you. He's making intercession for us right now.
Yes.
Even when we don't see him. He's still sitting on his throne right this minute, working all things out, even if they're painful. I want to share something with you. I had a conversation with a brother, brother Lamar, and I'd like you to add him in your desperate prayers. He's been married to Carol for over 50 years. Is it over 60? Over 60, yeah. Yeah. And he said to me, he said, John, I've never dealt with anything harder in my entire life. He's been a cop. He was a policeman. He had to deal with the scum of our world. He's told me some pretty nasty stories. I have never had to deal with anything harder in my entire life than watching the woman that I have loved for all that amount of time become nothing more than a shell. Lord, where are you today? That breaks my heart. But then he turned around and he said, praise the Lord, somehow this is something I got to go through. Lamar said that to me. Pray for him. He needs everything he can get right now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Any of those words hit you yet? Anything look familiar to you? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
For him, through him who has unmerited favor towards us, from him who has loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even I. Not even I. And there may come a time when I try. And there may come a time when, like Jonah, the Lord allows me to do it. And if he does, I pray I can come out the other side singing that wonderful song, Salvation is of the Lord. Unmerited favor is the title of today's message. Grace. I pray that the Lord blessed you with that. I pray that the Lord might have used his word to touch the hearts of some. Because I know in preparing for it, he touched my heart in great ways. What amazing grace our Lord has for us. And I think it'd be proper to sing that song for an end of a message like that. Would you stand with me and turn to page 202?